Well, that's not exactly it. No. What's the satsang? Ah, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Big difference, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about exactly. And I want to talk about exactly. Okay? And we do some things exactly as we're told to do them. Okay? So for instance, you know, if we're going to graduate from high school or college or professional training or graduate degrees, we do the required outline in order to graduate, okay? We do those courses. There may be some electives we can choose from, but we do it exactly as prescribed, okay? If we're going to get on an airplane, okay, we're going to be adjusting our thinking. Thank you. We're going to be adjusting our thinking, okay, so that we're exactly in line with our plane leaves at 9 o'clock. Okay, then I'll work backwards. I know what time I have to get up. I know what time I have to get to the airport, etc. Okay, we don't work it. Oh, okay, well, the plane leaves at 9 in the morning. Okay. So I'll have the headset of the plane leaving at 11. We don't allow ourselves that, okay? And we sure as hell hope and pray that the pilot, you know, when he approaches the landing strip, he's going to be exactly on course. You know, because overshooting the runway is not going to be much fun. Okay, so we hope that he's exactly on it, okay? If we do some surgery or dental surgery, we sure hope that the good doc is exactly on point. Okay? You can always count on that, huh? Exactly on point. Okay. Well, I'll have to wait for the realignment. Okay, the connection has to reform. Okay, so we're here doing our life in certain areas exactly as we're supposed to, as it were, as we're instructed, all right? Why is doing spiritual work to be done exactly as instructed? Okay, I'm a big one for that. And it's always doing meditation for those students of this path exactly as you've been instructed. Why exactly? Okay? And let me kind of back into this. And it's very much like last week, I had a discussion with someone about different kinds of meditations, and I sort of ran them through the frequencies that they were coming through, that some of these meditations, the spot that they came from in the inner worlds was not of the light of the Most High, that it was on, that there are different levels, there are different frequencies, there are different levels, okay? And the light we happen to work with emanates out of the Most High, from the Lord God Himself. But God's found on all levels, okay, and many of these vibratory frequencies out of which these meditation comes from, their original beingness, as it were, is not of the light of the Most High. It's in the magnetic worlds. And so he got to see very much that they're different frequencies, they're different densities, very much like a building. It's got different stories, okay? And they're different levels, and the soul lives on different levels. And if you're asleep on certain levels, you may think, for example, that level 3 is the highest. So you think that's God, etc., etc. And he asked a really good question. I mean, it's a common question, but it was a really good question. He said, how come most people... No, actually, he said, how come this isn't knowing? How come this isn't knowing? Okay. Well, in reality, it is knowing because the light of the Most High has always been here, and the sound current path has always been here. So that's knowing, but not that it's knowing in the great by the great masses or common knowledge. And actually, what's happened is that the true teachings have gone asunder. So that's why no one gets the connections with things in the Bible that are being said. I am the Word, etc. Wide is the way, but narrow is the gate. This is my body when the eye is single. All that is not understood because the meaning behind it has been lost, and the two teachings have been lost. Okay, and part of the spiritual movement now is that the teachings come forward. But he asks, well, how come this isn't known? And it's not known because of the, quote, human condition. Because we are asleep here, and because the soul has forgotten who and what it is, so it identifies itself so much with the world of form. And there's a confusion. And it's caught up in the world of form. It doesn't know itself anymore. Okay? And it can't distinguish the levels upon which it lives. It can't know the frequencies. Okay? But we know that each of these levels have a different frequency. There's a sound that the soul hears that correlates to each of these levels. There's actually a color as well. Okay, so we know that the song of the soul to itself is the song of the soul living on these different levels. But we've forgotten because the soul sits in the material world and sits inside of us asleep, and it confuses things in the world of form. It doesn't know. It's gone dumb, it's gone stupid, it's gone ignorant. It's forgotten its nature. It's forgotten who it is. You know? That's like, I actually heard this with my own ears, and I heard this kind of thing happens, but I couldn't believe it. But I heard it, and I heard it last month. Basically, the person was saying, well, you know, all meditation mantras are the same. They're all God. Well, yeah, it's all God. Everything is God. Okay? But there are levels of God, etc., and it's not the same. Okay? Because obviously you cannot get any higher than the source of that vibratory frequency. Okay? So the soul sits in us, and it's, as it were, it's confused. And it's confused both in terms of the satsang that I had given, that because we're in the material world and we're in spirit, so it's the fusion of these two things, but it's also confused in our normal sense, okay? It's just like, you know, if I were to tell you, you know, to clearly speak, you'd have no problem with what I said, okay? But up until a few years ago, because the standards had gotten so poor and so low that they just made it okay, it was not proper English to say that. Okay? But you wouldn't know, because you didn't know in the first place that it was off, because you've forgotten. Okay? You weren't clear. You weren't focused there. You didn't know. And it's similar for the soul, you know? Somebody shared with me, actually, a lawyer, two very interesting things. He said that there was a case that went before the Supreme Court all the way up through the appeals process, and the justices decided to hear it. Well, there was a grammar mistake there. There was a misplaced modifier. And it was so obvious that even the justices in their opinion mentioned it. And they said, we would have found dot, 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 you know, if it had been presented as, and then they put that word in the proper place. But given your petition to this court, we cannot find in your favor. We have no choice but to. Okay, so they of course made their own grammatical mistake. But so that cost them. And then the same person a couple of weeks later told me something terrible had happened, that there was a major discrimination case against blacks. And millions of dollars were involved, but also rectifying past mistakes. And it would have involved proper promotions. It would have involved people being able to do their promotions, proper assignments, and their whole seniority was affected, okay? And he told me that the case was lost because there was a grammar mistake and things, it got read other than the intent of the case, okay? And that's really the purpose of grammar, is for you, so that it could be understood clearly, so you can convey your ideas clearly, okay? And that this major case, which a lot was dependent upon, had been lost. And there was no recourse because of however the court system was set up, and there was nothing they can do, okay? And all these people who had been the victim of this kind of discrimination, that was it, because of a grammar mistake, okay? At least on the surface, on that level, all right? So that being clear is very, very important, all right? So why is it that I'm always saying exactly as taught, and you need to do exactly as taught, okay? Basically because God won't be mocked, okay? In other words, if you make an agreement with yourself, okay, and then you don't follow it, the spirit inside of you knows that, and it holds you responsible, okay? Also, when you sit in meditation, okay, there is a way to be with the spirit, and there's a prescribed way, and you need to do it exactly that way. If you do it your way, well, then you get to have what you've always had doing it your way, which is lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of karma. You get to do it your way, okay? So when we talk about exactly, we know the truth of wide is the way, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, okay? But people are interesting, you know? They're fascinating. If you can get away with it, you will, okay? So you may know that, well, if I don't do all the courses, I won't graduate. Or if I don't do exactly what I'm told to do, I won't get my license. I won't be a professional or whatever. And you won't take a chance with that, okay? If you know there are lots of cops on the road, you may not take a chance on speeding that day, okay? But, okay, anything we can get away with, we'll try. We'll give it a shot. You know, and we can rationalize anything. Humans can rationalize anything, and we'll make it okay to do that. Okay? And so, okay, well, it's okay not to follow the spiritual instruction. It's okay not to do the contract. It's okay not to do this. I'll do meditation my way because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you'll bring in all sorts of reference points. And I've even had discussions with people who bring in reference points from the past, and then they'll say, and I know this isn't so, and then they'll use it as a reference point exactly as if it were so. I mean, it kind of gets looped in there, you know? Things get a little warped. And yet we persist, okay? And there is one way, and there's a way home, and that's the way of the Christ, or of the merging of your will and God's will. And there's a way to do this, and there's a science with it, okay? That's the way. If something else had worked, that would be part of the teachings, okay? So exactly is the point, because that gets you to that point. There's no other way. Sorry, there's no other way. You know, all roads may lead to Rome. But once you get to Rome, how are you going to get to God? Okay. See? And it's okay to choose not to follow it exactly, but know that's what you're doing. And then what you're doing is, okay, I'm deciding to be the teacher. Okay? And then by definition, I get to live under the law of karma. And I have to then go through it in the physical, and I abdicate grace. And guess what? You're going to come to the point through your own digression, through your own process, through making yourself the teacher and doing it your way. You're going to come to that very point. It may not be in the same lifetime, but you will come to that very point that you were told how to be on and could have been on if you had followed the teachings exactly. So it'll just prove the veracity of the teachings, and it'll prove the veracity of the instructions. But instead of being on point, you get to have a lot of time finding that out anyway. See, because you're going to get there. Really, in reality, you are there, but you're going to realize that one of two ways, either the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is doing it exactly as taught. The hard way is to do it your way and come to the realization that, yeah, I really need to do it that way, as taught, exactly as taught. You know, the record may show I took the blow, but I did it my way, you know? Well, yeah, the record will show, because it'll be the karmic record. Now, I know, I see in spirit, there's like round of applause going on for, probably because I didn't sing it fully, but there was deep appreciation for that. Okay. You'll have the karmic record there of, it'll show that, yeah, I did it my way, okay? But why not live in grace? Why not make it easy upon yourself and follow the instructions? It's the prescription, okay? And so many of you, you know, you get fascinated by your own thoughts, by your own feelings, by your own diarrhea. And then you insist on it, and you'll just go with it, you know? But what you need to do is exactly apply the teachings. So, for example, if you have a satsang on how we're all in this thing called life together, how there's all an agreement, and how the paradigm is individual responsibility with an in-a-group situation, then guess what? You start to exercise that, and you don't just spew out negativity, because that's not being responsible. That creates karma for you, and more karma on the planet means what? Souls have a harder time lifting, so you're not being responsible to the group either, okay? And we also know that what's in your consciousness is in the other soul's consciousness because we're all one. So do you really want to put that in there? Do you really want to inflict that on someone else? You know? And we can be in awe of the simple fact, you know, chaos theory has this, of a butterfly flapping its wings, and on the other side of the world, there'll be a hurricane because of that. Or a major storm or so. Because of the interconnectedness of all things. Okay? All right. And that's their version. I would never say we're connected or interconnected. Okay? Because the truth is we're one. So that there's no distinction. See? So what you need to do is apply the teachings and apply them exactly and actively. Okay? Okay, and maybe this is my age showing, but I've learned to be a realist. And I realize that a lot of students will just, you know, blunder through. Some will participate somewhat actively. And there'll be a few who really listen and take it upon themselves, take the teachings upon themselves, and reside in that, you know? And someone came today with a beautiful expression, saying, I'm staying in the sacred, see? And that's what we all need to do, or I'm going to reside in the divine. But you can't reside in the divine if you ain't doing it exactly as taught. You see? Because the soul has forgotten itself and it's confused. And it allows itself to be pulled out there so often into the world of form. It just doesn't know itself. It's like a little kid lost, scratching its head, crying. Okay? And following it exactly means that, hey, yeah, you do stay in that sacredness. You do stay in the divinity. That's where it is. And you start from there in gathering the strength of who you are. You know? And we start to remember, okay? But you can't remember if you're doing it your way, because your way is a way of forgetfulness. Your way is in the way. You know? Your way is why you're here. Because it didn't work. If your way had worked, you wouldn't be here. So why not do it God's way? And why not do it exactly as instructed? But it does call for eternal vigilance, and it does call for love, and it does call for having integrity with yourself and with the spirit that you are, and knowing yourself as spirit. Okay? God is in us. Okay? Lives in us as us. Okay. The soul has fallen asleep. If through God's grace and kindness and mercy the soul has been initiated, then you start engaging in the waking up process, okay? But even in that process, well, the soul is waking up. So therefore, it's also asleep. Its protection is the guidance, and its protection is the exactitude. You know? There's a beautiful story told of a master who had a tremendous amount of love for his students, even though a lot of the students probably may not have understood the expression of it, or they probably would have said, you know, he's not a nice person, or his personality, or however people judge things, you know, without having a clue as to this master's beingness. And he had to do, I guess, the equivalent today of a mailing. And there was postage involved, okay? And he had instructed one of the students, because in those days, it was based on distance. You know, whereas today, you may go 300 miles and be in a foreign country and go, you know, 3,000 miles and be in the same country. And it's more expensive to do the short postage, you know, just like an airplane flight. But in those days, it was just distance, okay? And so this particular letter was going via post. And it was heavier than normal. And the teacher had instructed the student to put, let's say, the equivalent of 60 cents. Okay. All right. And as a matter of fact, I said, next time, hey, we do the mailing, you know, make sure you use stamps worth 60 cents. Okay. And then just before that next mailing, the teacher said it again. Okay, and then let's say the standard in those days, the standard stamp was, let's say, the equivalent of our first class postage. Let's say it was 37 cents. Okay. All right. And so I said, yeah, go do it. And then lo and behold, what did the student do? Puts on two of the equivalent of today's first class stamps. And of course, the teacher knew. Not that he necessarily knew that fact, okay? But he knew that from the vibratory frequency and the lesson and the karmic field around it, that that particular student had not done what she was asked to do. And he was what probably people would call furious and angry, okay? And that's how it would look from the outside, okay? But really, what there was on this really beloved master's part was sheer love and devotion for this particular student. Why? Okay? Not because she cheated him or the organization out of the difference in the postage or whatever. Because he knew that she would do that on her approach to God, that she would not do the instruction, that rather than go to the post office and get those stamps, I guess the equivalent in those days of a post office, and get those stamps totaling the proper amount, she just slapped on the two that she had at home. Because it was easier, quote, easier. She did it her way. Okay? And the teacher just blasted her. But blasted her in the sense of like you blast a road through a mountain also. He was blasting through the karma. And it was his love and caring of that student. That did that. So that she would learn, hey, you need to do it exactly. You need to follow the instruction for several reasons. It's part of your submission process. It's part of your surrender. It's part of your letting go. But mainly, guess what? If you ain't training yourself now and ain't being trained now, guess what? God's door is open. And you're not going to follow the instructions to go through that door. You're going to take the easy way, you see? And in your ignorance and in your confusion, you think it's the easy way. And you just made it real hard for yourself. I guarantee you, that soul has never forgotten that lesson. Was it about the stamps? No. what was it about? But it was about that learning to do it exactly. You know, we're not talking about where to have lunch, you know, a recommendation, hey, give me a nice place to eat in the neighborhood, you know. We're talking about the soul walking the path of returning home to God, of knowing itself as spirit, of devotion, of surrender, of letting go. And that soul will allow itself to be pulled out into the world unless it's trained fully to follow. And that master knew that. And so he came down on her real hard, seemingly real hard. Although probably the student would be the first one to tell you that it was just love. And don't be fooled by how it looked. But it was loved. She was loved at that time. And that soul was there for that love. And that's what the master cared about, was that training. You know? And there's, you know, there's that old story told about the initiate just before he dies. All his sons are there, you know, and he was a wealthy, wealthy man. He was a merchant. And he has like 5 seconds to go before his soul leaves the body. And with all the strength he can muster, he opens his eyes. And he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he realizes all his sons are there on his deathbed. And he goes, oh my God, who's minding the store? You see? And he'd gotten pulled out into the world of form. And he didn't follow the instructions. He had been told by his master, stay inside with God, chant the sacred names of God. He didn't follow that. He did it his way. Well, that's okay. He earned at least one more trip around. You know, and he'll come to the same place where his master had pointed him to. He'll do it his way, but that's the hard way, you see? And the teacher wants to make it easy for you, but you have to do it exactly his way, you see? And I say that deliberately because we really think it's his way, the teacher's, that person's way, okay? That's because we're materialistic and we think there's the ego, we think there's the body. Okay, but his way is the way of God because he doesn't teach from the body or from the karmic fields. He teaches out of the spirit or out of the soul that he is. And from that he gives and he knows. And that's the teacher is the soul and that's your teacher. Your teacher is the soul. But there's an exact way to work with and approach and know your soul. And that's what's imparted to you. If you do it your way, you keep missing. 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 You know? And then there's just another separation that's been created. That's called karma. See? But I don't teach karma. I just teach loving God. That's all I know. Loving God. Okay? But there's an exact way to grow that. You know? You'd be very upset if you had a child and that child lied to you. Well, that's how the spirit inside of you feels when you don't follow the direction you've received. You're lying to that spirit. You're telling the spirit you are that you don't know your spirit, that you're asleep, that God's grace doesn't exist. So I'm going to do it my way. The ego has lots of tricks up its sleeve. The false self has lots of tricks. doing things exactly are your protection from those tricks. You know, it's a house of mirrors in there. And the only protection is the exactitude, okay, of, well, of the teachings and of following them, okay? Because a mule loading down or laden down with stuff can't get through those gates. In other words, there's no way you can enter with your stuff, with your karma. So since you can't enter with your karma, I don't teach about karma. But you can enter with your loving, you see? So a word to the wise, you really need to be exact and don't just slough it off, you know? It's kind of like if you were told, well, come here Sunday and watch a video, watch a tape. And you say, oh yeah, that's great, I can do that. And you look at it as just another thing. Well, will I go play softball that day? Will I go do this? Will I go do that? Will I go do anything? Okay? You haven't been told to come Sunday just for the hell of it. You've been told, for your learning, for your upgrowth, and the teacher has placed an up vibratory frequency there for you to work with your soul. And it's a lifting pattern. And it's for you to participate in. See, and if you follow that, you're in business. But so many of you will find an excuse not to do that or not to do this, and you'll rationalize it and you'll make it okay. Well, good luck. You're making it hard. It's your right. It's a democracy. I'll defend your right to do it. You know, I'll also have shown you a better way. And by spiritual law, if you choose your way, I have to allow it. Okay, so you're the boss. See, I'm just the servant. I just follow. You're the boss. Okay? But the way the consciousness works is that we think we're not the boss and we think we're not in charge if we follow the teachings exactly. We think we've been lauded over, etc. That's because of the falseness of the way it looks inside. You know, God's up here and we're down here, so therefore anything is spirits above, so we've been lauded over. Okay? But the mature approach is to take it for yourself. See, that's what's needed. Take the exactitude for yourself. And then there's nothing to rebel against. Because ask yourself, how can you rebel against spirit if you are spirit? It's only by pretending that you're not that you can rebel. Okay? But there's nothing to rebel against because, as been said many times, the game is rigged, folks. It's just a question of time. You know, we're all going to know ourselves as spirit. We're all going to go home to God. We're all going to finish our karmic journeys. When do you want to do it? Your choice, okay? But you can't have it both ways. You can't pretend to walk this path and do it your way, you see? Okay. And finally, the interesting thing is when you give up your resistance and you give up that pseudo-independence or thinking you're separate, etc., you get to find out that the exactitude of the teachings and that umbrella and doing it the way of spirit, that spirit's way is your way and that your way is spirit's and that you're one and the same. And other than that, you've been living in illusion. Well, welcome to the planet, you know? That's why that question was so good. Well, how come no one knows it? Everything seems to be the same. Can't distinguish itself. Vibratory frequencies all seem to be the same. It's all the same denseness here. Well, not to the soul it's not. once the soul starts waking itself up after being kind of shocked awake through the gift of initiation. Really, technically, the soul can't wake itself up. It is woken up through initiation and then slowly, slowly, slowly begins to rise, as it were, through the levels. Okay? And it's only by doing that and in that process do we understand exactly what's the point of being and doing things exactly. Okay? So out of love and devotion and respect to those who really want to take it into their beingness, I really suggest that you do your life exactly as instructed, that there's nothing to fight, that you be mindful of the teachings, and that you follow them exactly, because that's your grace, that's the protection, that's the ease of it all. And that's the blessing. We'll stop with that. I will do my best. Okay.
I have a question, Dr. Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
The man who was on his deathbed and was instructed to just stand his tomb and just stay present. And his sons were all around, and I'm going to make the assumption that they too were just staying connected and focused so that he could really just lift in a blissful state of just freedom. And in opening his eyes, instead of taking in that love and surrender, the fact that he refocused on who was minding the store is what got him caught, and then he wasn't able to experience that action, that what it was that, because he said he... It got him in a whole
other
lifetime because he missed that opportunity.
Okay. All right. Okay, Vicky, I appreciate the question. The question was the story I told about the man on his deathbed, and he opened up his eyes and then counted his five sons and said, oh, my God, who's minding the store? The question was if he had just basked in the love of those five sons who were there for him, he would have been okay. Okay, and from the question, you can see the importance of the talk, okay, and why I gave the talk tonight, okay? That's not at all what was said, okay? What was said was that he had been instructed to just stay within and chant his tones, the sacred names of God, okay? And he didn't do that, okay? Basking in the love, so-called love, of those sons or whatever, wouldn't have done him any good as a soul. So I'm not... Okay, but you see, the interesting thing is this kind of demonstrates what we do and how difficult it is for souls to follow exactly the instructions. We'll always kind of seek a way this way, other than the real basic bottom line of things, of the instruction. The spiritual instruction was stay inside, chant the sacred names of God. That's it. It wasn't go enjoy the love of your sons, because they'll carry you to heaven. That love will carry you to heaven. Okay. Okay, so that was a good question. Demonstrates the talk.
Hey, yeah, because that's where I get caught.
Yep.
Over and over.
Yeah, looking for any other way but. Okay, all right. So why not then just make a determination to follow exactly the teachings and save all the other permutations, cogitations, and masturbations for other people if they want to use it? Did I say a naughty word? Oh, my God. Okay, good.
Oh. Oh, I've never done this before. Back to the initiate on his deathbed. So I want some clarity. So his teacher told him to stay inside and chant his tones. Was it the fact that he opened his eyes? Is that where he went off his instruction? Was it the fact that he lost his focus?
Okay. All right. Another question about the infamous death bed scene did he get into trouble because he opened his eyes, etc.? Okay. For almost everyone, it's very impossible to have their eyes open and really be focused within, except for blind people. Okay, but even assuming though that he had been able to do that, if he had been able to have his eyes open and be focused within, okay, then he was following the spiritual directions. Okay, you're kind of missing the point here. Okay. The point is, the instructions were to stay within and chant the sacred names of God. Okay, how that particular being did that doesn't matter. If he could stay within by hanging from the ceiling, if that was the best way, then he would have hung from the ceiling. Okay, so it's really beside the point whether he could open. But generally, it's kind of hard to have your eyes open and stay within, because the way we're set up is we start then going outside and processing. See, and once we stay within, the currents of the soul are drawn up. Okay, we tend to break that focus in the spiritual world once we start bringing in the brain functions of simply having to process those images that the eye is seeing. Okay. Go ahead. You look more perplexed than.
I wouldn't say I'm more perplexed. I think I get it. It's okay. It's not the fact of him opening his eyes. It's just that he didn't stay within, as you said.
Right. It's not the form.
Not the form. You could have swung from the rafters and stayed within.
Right.
I guess. When I heard he lost his focus, I thought of, you know, when you meditate sometimes, mm-hmm. You could be in meditation and lose that focus. I wanted to know, what's the difference between losing your focus when you're chanting your tones inside mm-hmm. and, you know, this situation? That's why I ask about the eyes. Was it the eyes that made it different from...
No, the eyes... Okay, the real... Supposedly the question behind that question was, is there a difference when we are in meditation, we kind of lose our focus versus... What he'd been instructed. Okay, you can be focused. The instruction, I don't know, is everyone here an initiate on this line? Okay, because I didn't see anything else, but I didn't know if somebody had walked in the room. Okay, I can't answer your question fully. But I'll be happy to answer it afterwards, okay? All right, but you see, it's part of, the losing the focus, that's not the problem. It's you want to return, okay? That's all, even if you lose, okay, if you choose to stay in the loss of focus, then that's very similar to that, what the guy on his deathbed did, okay? But if you lose the focus but return, well, then that's...
His meter was running. He didn't have...
Well, that's right. But we also know that you tend to wind up spiritually according to where you placed yourself last. So he was very much involved with the world of form. And... So that earned him at least one more round trip. See, and it was the master's grace and the master's love who gave him that instruction. Because, it was a submission. It obviously would have benefited him to tremendously, but it also was a tremendous strengthener. That final moment he had in the body could have served as just the very thing that would have propelled him into what's called eternal life. And he didn't take it because he did it his way. Well, that's exactly the point of what we're talking about. That's exactly the point of why that great master yelled at that, I don't know if he yelled, but he was very firm and direct at that student with about the stamps. It's exactly that very thing. Okay, well, let's go to Phoneland and then we'll take your question. Okay, does anyone in Phoneland have another question?
I do.
Okay. Okay, when we don't hear the teacher, is that because we've gone into our own agenda? Okay. Do you want the long-winded answer, or do you want the short-winded answer? Or do you want both? Well, okay, I'll give you both, okay? The short-winded answer is yes. The long-winded answer is yes, definitely. Yeah. Okay, because that's how powerful we are. We can choose to be the teacher, in which case the teacher, out of his love for you, allows you to have your lessons brought to you in the way you've chosen. You've chosen to have it brought to you through the physical and abdicated the field of action that, I'll just speak for I, that I would work with, which is grace. Okay. Well, that was a good question. Thank you. Okay. Anna?
I don't know if this is a question or a comment, but somehow I find that if I make the comment, I get the answer to what I think I'm asking, even though I don't know what I'm asking. So the man on his deathbed was not on point.
Right.
And really all of the teachings are about being on point no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, includes listening to the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But really it's almost like being on point feels very much like a very basic rule that we can give ourselves and therefore live in grace.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the hardest thing. But if you can just focus on being on point, it means you're going to be in the presence of God every moment. And if you really decide to be on point, it even means when you go to the dentist after your cleaning to really floss every day. It's that practical. It's almost, I mean, God's very practical. Spirit is very practical. It gives you a way to live if you decide to be focused on God and to live in the present.
Okay.
Because we know what to do in most situations. It's a matter of whether or not we do it.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. The question comment was, the guy on the deathbed, that story had to do with being on point. And it's very important for us in our lives to be on point, including listening to the teacher. And also that we need to be on point in our everydayness. So that if we go to the dentist and get a cleaning, do your part afterwards to keep your teeth clean. Okay? And that's a real prescription for living. Okay? And I don't really have much of a response to your question or your comment other than obviously, in the sense that, you know, we tend to think that spirit is so far removed from life or from everydayness, but it's not. You get a prescription for living. Well, it's a prescription for living, okay? If you attend a satsang, and I'll just use the same example, and you're taught that what you have in your consciousness, because we're all one and the same, what you're holding there, the other, another soul has to hold that also, and you're affecting all of creation, okay? Well, that's not just a nice idea and a beautiful idea, and wow, that's so spiritual. That then becomes, if you apply it, a living reality in your everydayness. And if you're going to work your thoughts and your emotions from what you've learned spiritually, that's pretty, pretty practical, you see? And there is no separation, okay? The only thing that I was struck by what you said is, and really would like to offer a correction because we're doing exact stuff exactly, is, and you said, well, then it translates, you know, the whole point is being on point and living in grace and doing that in our daily life, and it's hard to, you know, it's hard to do, and da-da-da-da, okay? But that's just a mindset that it's hard to do, okay? And if you're willing to, you can enter into, you can allow grace, and it gets to be very easy. You see, otherwise you've set up, well, it's a hard thing to enter grace, but then that's not grace, you see? And yeah, what you're really saying is we have so much karma in there that it's very hard, okay? But if you allow grace to operate, and you allow whatever you want to call it, the teacher's love, the grace, God, whatever, it doesn't much matter. Nothing is hard, and it's, you ease on down the road, and it is very practical. And so the spiritual prescriptions and the teachings you receive, they are for your living, your everydayness. But because of the how the mind works, we want, and mind wants to be sovereign, wants to have fully control of the things in the situation in our daily life, so it does an outpicturing of God or spirit is somewhere out there, okay? But the whole point of the teaching is that God's in you and lives as you. Well, that's everydayness and practical. And it's only the false self in the mind that separates spirit and matter. So when you're on point, yeah, you need to be on point for everything, you see? And not in defense, but as an explanation, you know, sometimes I've been accused of being too demanding or too exacting, etc. You know, although those very same people will say, you know, after talking to people and going around in circles with certain things, boy, it's so nice to, you know, we've been going around this for like 6 months. You know, we come here and like in 20 minutes, bing, 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 bing. Okay, so that's okay in those situations, but otherwise it's not too okay. It's not that I'm being demanding, but it's that the insistence out of love that you be on point in these very everyday mundane things. Because if you're on point spiritually, you're on point in the physical. And if you're walking around like not really centered, not really focused, not really on point, well, then you're not on point spiritually either. So that's why I insist you really be on, and I do demand that. Okay, but that's demanding that you be the spirit you are. You know, it's not okay to lolly-da around. And it's not okay to pretend you don't know. And it's not okay to do things half-assed because you're not on point. And also because you're abdicating the way of grace. If you are on point, grace comes in because you're present. You're entirely present. You can receive it and you just ride the magic carpet. It's real simple. So there is no difference. And it does become a prescription. Very pragmatic. Spirit is pragmatic. You know? We're not, you know, the teachings are knowing God while you're in the body, being with God, being present, knowing yourself as soul, as spirit, while you're in the body. No, we don't care about this afterlife stuff or any of that stuff. Because, A, it's not so, but B is... I mean, you're not suddenly going to go to heaven because you so-called die. But B is, if God's in you, and if we're here spiritually, and we're in a body, well, then automatically, spirit and matter are extremely important. And if matter is the arena for spirit, or for our spiritual growth and upliftment, well, then, yeah, you're going to need to be on point. And as, quote, mundane a thing as brushing your teeth, okay? My question to you is, why isn't flossing or brushing your teeth spiritual?
Well, it is.
Yeah, well, that's it. Right, and it was a rhetorical question. But you're absolutely right. Good.
It's really upholding your commitments to yourself.
That's right. That's right. That's
your agreement.
That's right. Staying in your integrity, being one and the same, keeping your agreement, regardless of what it is with.
And the ultimate agreement is to be the present with God.
Well, but that's...
So, like, if you keep choosing that,
right,
you'll know exactly what to do.
Right, right. But you see, you can't be with God and be present with God if you're not honoring that commitment to brush your teeth.
Flossing.
Okay, well, flossing there's some debate about, but I'll just to keep your teeth clean. Okay? Okay. All right, we'll take one more question from the peanut gallery out there, and then we'll take another one here. Okay, any in phone land? No? Okay. See, the people in Phoneland are so much smarter. Okay, well, let's give it to the man in green.
My question is...
By the way, did you just move so you could be on camera?
I'm not on camera.
Just checking.
I'm closer to the phone.
Right.
It could be easy for me to interpret that being on point means feeling that I have to be perfect. Is there a difference between being on point and being perfect?
Yeah, you.
My interpretation.
No, you, just in your daily life. Are you perfect?
No.
Okay. But you are perfect spiritually, okay? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is. You are perfect, okay? We're not, this is crucial, we're not here to perfect the physical. We're not here to perfect the emotions. We're not here to be perfect in the mind. You know, otherwise you'd have to know every fact that ever was or answer every question on, even I don't answer all the questions on Jeopardy. Some are beneath me. No. There's no point to it, okay? Or in the unconscious or anything like that. So we're not here to be perfect. We're here to perfect and manifest and know the perfection of the spirit we are and of the soul, okay? But what I hear you asking, though, is... Do I have to be 100% hard on myself all the time? See? Okay, and that's why my answer to you was, yeah, you're the answer. Okay, it's obvious you're not perfect in these levels. Nobody is, okay? And yet you have grace extended to you. Okay? So being on point doesn't mean being perfect. Okay? Being on point means always focus towards, if you move off the point or are moved off the point or allow yourself to be moved off the point, that your focus is always the point and returning and being on point. Okay? See, judgment and to sit in judgment is not being on point. God does not judge. The teacher does not judge. You know? How can you be judged if you're receiving grace? It doesn't make any sense. You know, you kind of remind me of how I try to argue with God out of this spiritual position that I hold or spiritual energies that I hold. You know, I wasn't, quote, perfect enough. You know, and the thing that I've shared this story several times, the thing that stopped me dead in my tracks was Spirit's response. You know, when I used all the information I could to show why I shouldn't be the teacher, you know, why I shouldn't hold these spiritual energies, why I shouldn't have these offices. You know, I mean, I even went so far as to, you know, use my eyes, my eyesight, you know. And the response that stopped me was, well, who are you not to be? Okay. So that none of these things we judge as we're not perfect at here have any validity spiritually. Okay. So being on point means always focused on God, always from a neutral, loving space, and loving yourself and being kind to yourself. Okay. Now, with a caveat with that to the other side, it doesn't mean letting yourself off easy and not monitoring yourself and not caring yourself and not self-directing yourself. It does mean no judgments. You screwed up big time. Okay, love yourself. Did you learn from that? Can you forgive yourself? Can you use it to lift and grow? Fine, then you're on point. We don't care about the screw-up. We care about the growth out of that screw-up. Okay? So being on point means living in grace. And part of living in grace means being neutral, not judging yourself, and having the same love for yourself as the Christ does, as God does. Well, it's obvious He loves us, and yet look at us. Look what we do. We'll deny Him, and He'll still love us. No? And I've had people badmouth me right to my face. And then I'll just like, doesn't change the, underneath it all, the love that I have for them. But you have to do that for yourself. Okay? So the perfection thing is not the point thing. Okay, but that's a good question. But what you're probably saying is, hey, I always have this perfection demand on myself. How can I be on point without being so denigrating? Okay, demand perfection of you yourself spiritually. Okay. What else? One more question, then I'll call it a night. Do I get to call it a night? Okay. Well, a knight in shining armor. Okay, now Melissa hands me this slip of paper. If